top of the table, that's exciting. Bottom of the table, that's exciting. Like, that's the sort of football that you want to be. And these are the pressure games that in 15, 20 years' time, I will look back on and I will remember these are the important matches for me, not the middle of the table teams.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTB Sports app now.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Right, it is 8:48. You're with us here on OTB AM, and I'm delighted to welcome Olympian Emmett Brennan to the show. Emmett, how are you getting on?
I'm good, yeah. I'm just training away, and I'm, as I said, I'm hoping for that Katie show. So I've started camp, and I'm training as if I'm going to be on the show, although I haven't heard any word yet.
Brilliant. So for people who aren't fully aware of the story here, I'm sure everybody would have seen Emmett fight in Tokyo last summer, and then I guess the decision has essentially been made to go professional at this point, Emmett, and you're eyeing up your professional debut to be on the undercard of the Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano fight.
Yeah, like, I'm 99% sure I'm going to go pro. I'm suited to professional boxing. Like, the Olympics was always the dream, but I was never suited to amateur boxing. It's a lot faster pace, whereas the professional game is a little bit slower, and it's suited more to my style. But like, there'd be no better debut than the Katie Taylor show. And for me, like, even looking from the outside, it just makes perfect sense. There's going to be a huge crowd of travelling Irish fans. And I, as I said, I have that good, exciting professional style. It makes perfect sense to have me on the show.
Where are the talks at the moment then?
So there hasn't really been much. I got in contact myself with Matchroom yesterday via email. So look, they obviously know, they've seen me stuff online. They do know about it. So I'm just waiting to hear back from them.
Have you been in touch with Matchroom in the past? Is it just, did you just go onto their website, just get an email and just go at it off your own bat sort of thing? Or do you think that you've got an in there that they are listening to what you're saying?
I was supposed to go over, so Matchroom have a gym in London. I was supposed to go and train there just before Christmas. But things just didn't work out in terms of, I was coming back from a shoulder injury. It wasn't the right move to go over while I wasn't in the best condition. So I never went over. So they definitely do know about me. It's just trying to get the word out there and try and get a little bit of social media presence behind it. And like, as I said, like, from the outside to me anyway, it just makes perfect sense.
What would your message be to Eddie Hearn then if he was weighing up who to pick for his undercard?
Like, there is a big Irish crowd going over. They're going to be, I would imagine, the majority of the ticket sales. They're travelling across the Atlantic Ocean. Like, they've asked for me to be on the show, so it's up to him whether he listens or not. I think he will, because I'm not saying put me on the show because I'm an Olympian. I offer a lot more than that. Like, going forward, I'm actually looking to move to New York, so that's where I'm going to be basing myself. I'm going to be basing myself there with a full Irish team behind me, as in managers, trainers. It's all going to be Irish. So the vision for me is to have the whole Irish-American community on the east coast of America behind me. So it's not just, I'm an Olympian, put me on your show. It's like, I can actually offer you something going forward after the show.
Just for a bit of background then, Emmett, when you say that they've asked for you to be on the show, who are you referring to there?
So there's been a big social media, outcry over the last few days. Loads of people looking for me to be on the show. And then I've loads of contacts in New York. A lot of my friends live in New York. They are dying to get behind someone from Ireland over there in terms of boxing, because there's been people coming and going and fighting on the East Coast, but there hasn't been someone really living there and actually being in the Irish community day to day. From what I can gather from my friends in New York, they are dying to get behind some.
And I guess the context of the main fight on the bill is somebody who came from the Olympic setup and has obviously made an unbelievable career for herself in the professional ranks as well. There is, I guess, a certain similarity to the storylines.
Yeah, there is a certain similarity. I'm told that Katie would have gone professional at a similar age to myself. She came off the back of Rio, I'm coming off the back of Tokyo. So there is similarities there. Obviously, Katie has a lot more exposure and she's a lot more well-known. But there is similarities. We both have a similar fighting style as well, where we're in exciting fights. We're coming forward and we're looking to put on the show for the fans. So there definitely is a lot of similarities there. And I think, like, in terms of personality as well, we come across well. We're both humble. We both come from a good background. So there is a lot of similarities.
How strange is it training for a fight that you're not sure will happen?
Look, I'm going to have to train anyway. It's not like I'm not going to be training. I suppose it gives me a goal and a vision. Like, I'm all in on this. I believe it's going to happen. So that's why I've started my camp. Like, I don't want to, anything could happen. They mightn't put me on the show. Someone could get COVID. Someone could get injured. And they might need me on the show. Do you get me? Like, so
yeah.
I will be training as if I'm fighting on that. Even if I don't get the go-ahead for it, I'm still going to be looking towards that, because professional boxing, anything can happen.
To what extent is this a bit of a high-wire act, Emmett, in terms of money and in terms of finances? Because obviously your story into Tokyo was well known, that you took out a credit union loan to keep the dream alive. You did qualify for the games in June, and the dream did eventually materialise in it, and it paid off, and you got to go to Tokyo. And I think everybody became so magnetized towards your story at that point. I guess what I'm wondering now is that, essentially, from saying that you're 99% professional, does that mean you're not entitled to the amateur boxing funding, and essentially you need to find a new stream of income pretty soon?
No, I am on funding. I've got me funding for the next year.
Okay.
I'm guaranteed that funding because I got to the Olympics. But like, I haven't closed the door on amateur boxing in case something does go wrong if I try to go professional. It's just that my style of boxing isn't suited to amateur boxing.
Sure.
The way I would describe it is, you have running, you have 100 metres and you have a marathon. Usain Bolt is the best 100 metres in the world, but you wouldn't be great over a marathon distance. Professional boxing to me is like a marathon, where amateur boxing is like a sprint, and I'm suited to the marathon distance and not the sprint distance. So that's where I'm coming from about going professional. Do I go after the Olympics again? Whereas I'm not suited to that. I'm not suited to that style of boxing. So it's about making sense now of what I'm doing and not just going after the dream.
Is this your first year?
Back to what you said there on, like, the whole me backing myself, getting to the Olympics, and really, really investing myself. This is where I'm similar to a lot of people that's living on the East Coast of America. I'm talking about the Irish community. So these have all backed themselves and they've emigrated to a different country. I'll be doing something similar and they can see themselves in my story. So that's why I think I'm going to be a big hit on the East Coast. But one of the reasons.
For sure. Like, I mean, is that the thing that's motivating you, Emmett? Is it the sense of getting over there and being a success in the United States of America? Is that a huge carrot for you, as much as everything else in terms of the sporting success as well?
Yeah, so like I also, as I said, I think like a lot of the people in New York will recognise my story and they have similarities to it. I went over in November for 3 weeks just to see if I liked the place and see if I go around with the people, and straight away I knew this is a place that I can make a future in. It's a place that I can get people to back me, and I can get the whole Irish community behind me. And I think we can start some sort of movement over there, because there hasn't really been, as I said, there hasn't really been an Irish boxer that has lived there full time. Not in the last 10 years anyway. And they are crying out for that. So I think it's going to be a real, real success. And I think having Matrium on board, that, like, you are such a major influence in boxing, can really, really start that off.
Have you eyed up potential opponents for the end of April?
That would be down to Matrium. As I said, I'll be making my debut I'm not going to be fighting a superstar in my first fight. The way professional boxing goes is you might have one or two, I'd say, easier opponents at the start. Mm. But then again, as I said, I'm 30, so I want to hit the ground running, and after maybe 3 or 4 fights, really start facing stiff competition.
We've seen on social media as well that Barry Keoghan is offering to walk you out on the night. So you've got pretty high profile support.
Yeah, so like you're talking about Barry Keoghan, one of Ireland's leading actors, starred in the Marvel films, which is one of the most successful franchises in the world. So even by having him there, you're getting a new audience to the show that mightn't have been there. You're getting, because Marvel's is huge around worldwide, you're basically showing the Katie Taylor Bill to a new audience. And then on top of Barry Keoghan, if I have him walking out, I'm sure I can get a top Irish artist to sing us out to the ring as well. So it'll be a real show, and something that not many people have done on their debut. As you can see from the way I'm talking, I'm very, very ambitious in the way that I'm thinking. And I think, like, if Matchroom are looking at this, they're saying, well, this guy is offering us something different. He's very, very ambitious. He's not just talking about fighting, he's talking about bringing the show along with him and getting a whole community of people behind them.
How much does it inspire you, the other stories that have come out of Ireland in the recent past and the likes of Matchroom have been head over heels for? Like, I mean, I'm just thinking of, like, even the Eric Donovan story. Like, I mean, after he was beaten, what was it, last summer, maybe the summer before, I get the years mixed up, and Eddie Hearn was just glowing in his praise of Eric Donovan as a man and as a boxer afterwards, that there is a huge market out there for stories like yours, for stories that people around the world will take and look to root for as time goes on.
Yeah, like Eric especially to me is an inspiration because obviously he has a backstory to himself, and that's something that's very important when you're going professional as a boxer. You do need a backstory behind you because you want to be more than a fighter. You want to be a personality, and you want people to recognise themselves in you so they can get behind you. And again, Eric went pro at a similar age to me, and he's a bit older now, but he's living a good, healthy life, and it shows that you can still have a career into your mid to late 30s. So he would be something that I would be eyeing my professional career off. And I keep in touch with Eric regular. He's a great person, and he's an inspiration, and like he's fighting now in the next few weeks, and he has another chance to. Like, if he wins this fight, he's probably in contention near enough world level, which is remarkable if you look at what he's done.
For sure. So what happens next, Emmett? I mean, hopefully over the next little while you do hear back from Matchroom and the wheels get in motion, but what will you be doing in terms of the things that you can control?
Yeah, so I'm going off to New York for the training camp now in 3 weeks. So for the next 3 weeks, I'm sort of in general preparation, and then that will leave me 8 weeks out from the potential fight that I want to be on. So then I really start to ramp training up. I'll start sparring. I'll be over in New York, hopefully. So I'll be getting around the Irish community and really trying to get a crowd behind me. Because realistically, for this fight, like, this fight sells itself. Like, I don't really need to sell tickets for this, but I want to show Matchroom the next show they can bring on the East Coast. I'm going to have a huge crowd behind me. So for me, the thing is to get the word out in New York. And I'm looking at so much ideas in doing that. As I said, I'm going to have an Irish background, like a background team behind me that have been very, very successful in New York and have brilliant connections within the Irish-American community over there. So, the next thing for me is get the word out on the East Coast of America.
Just one last question, Emmett, and I think it plays into what you're just talking about there. How much has your life changed, but how much has your perception of the support that you've got changed post the Olympic Games last year? Because I've mentioned it a couple of times, you've mentioned it a couple of times, that defeat to the Uzbek fighter in Tokyo, the reaction to your interview afterwards was absolutely massive. Like, did that change your perception of how much support there is out there for you and how much there will be there for you if this thing does happen in April?
Yeah, So I've obviously pre-Tokyo, I didn't actually realise like the amount of people that one, knew me, and then two, were actually supporting me. And I think it's because I'm a normal person with a story behind me that people can sort of see themselves, or maybe they're working a job that they don't like and they took inspiration from that to maybe go down a different career path. Like, the support I've got is, honestly, it's been incredible. Like, I'm still getting stopped on the street by people saying, well done, the Olympics. Like, it was inspirational. And then online, I'm still getting like 2, 3, 4 messages a week or strangers saying, well done. I heard you on such and such. Your story is inspirational to me. I really wish I could do that. And in terms of what I'd done, I basically changed the career path and I went for something. I went for my dream. It's something that everyone can recognise because everyone can do that. It's not like I've done something exceptional. I basically changed my focus to something that made me happy and something that gave me a goal and a vision. As I said, it's something that every single person can do.
You must be absolutely unbelievably delighted that you did make that decision and that you did take that leap.
Yeah, I am, because like I've made the decision roughly 5 to 6 years ago now. I haven't looked back. I've got to experience some incredible things. I got to see some incredible places and meet some brilliant, brilliant people. Like, the networking of people I have right now is unbelievable. I was talking to a friend last week and I said, I don't have much money, but I'm rich with the people that I know and the people that I have around me. And I truly believe that I'm so, so lucky. But I wouldn't have all this at my feet if I didn't make that change.
Lemmet, we wish you all the best. I presume social media is the best place for people to follow you to keep track of how this progresses over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and like, I just want to say thanks to everyone that shared. Like, it's over the last few days, I've got so much backing and so many people text me saying, look, I really, really hope you get this. And I think they're very sincere about it. And so many people tagging Eddie Hearn, tagging Matchroom. It's unbelievable. And I'm just going to keep up on it because the kind of person I am is, if I'm going after something, I'm going after it 100%. And as I said, I offer Matchroom something going forward. I'm not asking to be on the show because I'm Irish and an Olympian. I'm asking to be on the show because I really, really believe I offer them something going forward. I offer them something on the East Coast of America, which they haven't really tapped into yet. They haven't had an Irish boxer consistently fighting on the East Coast that lives over there. It's a market that I think they can tap into. And maybe if they have me there, they can bring in fighters in maybe 5, 6, 7 years and they can keep this tradition going for the next 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, well...
It's something that can really help propel Matchroom on the East Coast of America. We're in the Irish community.
Emmett, we wish you all the best over the next little while. Good luck with the training and hopefully things come together
thanks
for the end of April.
Thanks for having me on.
Cheers. Emmett Brennan there, Irish Olympian on the line. It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out over the next little while. April 30th is the date of that card in Madison Square Garden. It's going to be a massive night and hopefully for a number of different levels.
OTB AM with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.